This is Sunday morning, December the 4th, 2022. And we're going to do part two of lesson number 8 today, Beasts That Bother the Brethren. Now, last week, I think you understand why I could not, and I told you I was not going to be able to get it all in one lesson. Today, we're going to try to finish out this lesson and get it finished up. But I want you to understand something today. As our lesson series says, our God reigns and God's kingdom is sure. There's no doubt about what God is doing. And you know what? We are seeing many things come to pass in the day that we live today that are bringing all these things together. And we are seeing how that God's plan is all coming together. And I'm thankful for that. And last week we went through the lesson. We got the first part of it. And part number one was the reception of the vision. And it showed the setting of the vision, where Daniel was talking about that. And then it showed the scene within the vision. But today we want to look at the revelation of the dream. What did it mean? Daniel was very confused about it. He didn't know what it meant. And we want to look at that today in Daniel chapter number 7. Daniel chapter number 7, all right? Now I want you to look at some things with me this morning. After he saw all the things that God had shown unto him in these dreams, in these visions, he was kind of perplexed. He was perplexed. Sorry about that. I can't get the candy up and it won't go down. So it's just kind of stuck there. I'll just enjoy the rest of the service. Amen. All right. But he was perplexed by what it all meant. He just did not fully understand. And you know, when Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar had their dreams, God used Daniel to interpret those dreams. And he showed those kings what those dreams, those visions meant. And Daniel was very distraught. He was upset. And you'll see that here in verse number 15. Because he did not yet have the meaning of these dreams and these visions from God. And so we go here in verses 15 and 16. Daniel recalls here, he said, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and I asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Now Daniel, again, he realized from Nebuchadnezzar's dream that the terrible image that he saw, it represented only not only the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, but the coming reign of three other kings and kingdoms following Nebuchadnezzar. Now Nebuchadnezzar was that head of gold. But there were other kingdoms that would rise up. And he knew that all of those things, if the other kingdoms reigned as long as Nebuchadnezzar did, and I think that was, what, 63 years, I think it was, he knew that it would be a long ways out into the future and be past his lifetime when all those things would come to pass. But he wondered about what God was trying to show him. And it seemed like the one thing that really troubled Daniel's heart and it grieved him in his spirit was not only the character of those four beasts that we read about last week, those four beasts that were strange to him. He couldn't figure out what they were talking about. But how this one little horn that would be rising up out of the midst of those 10 horns, out of the great sea, and what the significance of that little horn was really all about. He was just worried about it. It was representing a wild beast, but he did not fully understand what it all meant. So now in verse 16, the Bible said, Daniel writes here, he said, I came near unto one of them that stood by. Now in his dream, there were different people there in his dreams. I believe most of those folks he was seeing, the ones that were there around him, were the angels of God, messengers from God. But the Bible said he stood there by Daniel. And Daniel looked over and he asked him the truth of all this. He said, I don't understand. What does it mean? You know, there are times in our lives we don't understand things like we ought to. If you understand everything, you are unique. And if you say you understand all things, I'll tell you what else you are. You're probably a liar. Okay? Because nobody understands all the things in our lives. Man, I wish I could. But you know what? I look back many times at what God does, what the Lord does in those times that we don't understand, and those times that we just can't figure out what God is doing. And when it's all done and it's all said and finished, and we look back and we say, man, God, you are amazing. God is amazing. And Daniel was worried. He was, because he couldn't tell what the dream was. He didn't have the message yet from God. So the Bible said, so he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. God was going to use this one that stood by him in this vision to reveal to Daniel things that were going to happen years later. He was going to give him the interpretation of this vision, of this dream that he was having. And I want you to understand that this heavenly messenger, not an earthly one, but a heavenly messenger, was going to give a divine revelation of those things that were going to happen in years to come. And you know what? Just as the Apostle John sat in exile on the Isle of Patmos, and you know, he sat there because he had a testimony for the Lord. He was exiled because he preached the gospel, because he had a testimony for the Lord. And God took that man and he opened his eyes to things that would come. And our pastor has been going through that on Wednesday nights. Man, what a blessing. Brother Buck sent me a YouTube video the other night. Pastor was talking about the 12 foundations of heaven. And the stones that were mentioned in the Bible. And, you know, we perhaps don't understand the reasoning behind God putting those specific stones in that book of Revelation and why God used those in the foundations of that great city. But there was a scientist, a preacher, scientist that studied this thing, and they've just found out. You know, lasers have become a new thing, and perfect white light, okay, has become a new thing that they're creating. They got them in headlights now. They got them in street lights and all kinds of stuff that just gives a brighter light. One where the light doesn't just scatter, but the light is focused. It goes through from point to point without being spread out. And this scientist took those names of those jewels that were listed in the book of Revelation and found out that they were, and let me pronounce it correctly, anisotopic. And they are not isotopic. The isotopics, I believe it was, when you shine those lights through them, the light that came forth from that was dark. It was almost a black looking color through diamonds, you know, all these other things that they used, rubies, things like that. But those jewels that are listed in the 12 foundations of heaven are anisotopic. And when they shined that glorious laser light through those stones, the beauty and the colors that came out were unbelievable. Unbelievable. And they shone everywhere. But it was only through that pure light being shown through those stones. And you know what? When that man told all that, man, chills just went up my back. To think that before, 2,000 some odd years ago, before man ever even figured out isotopic or anisotopic or whatever they are, the lights and the way that light, pure light, shines through particular stones, God says, I'm going to use those jewels to magnify the glory of heaven. And man, I'm going to tell you, God knew long before man ever figured it out. And here, God knew what was going to happen. And God wanted to show his faithful servant of the things that would come to pass. Daniel, on his own, could not figure it out. But look now in verses 17 and 18. Trying to get that thing to go down. All right, that makes it come back up. It's just sliding around. Verses 17 and 18. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now, these four kings that would be seen by Daniel, they are the same four kings and their four kingdoms that Daniel spoke of when he interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. They are the same ones, but God is showing these kings and kingdoms in a different light, in a different method to his servant Daniel. He showed them in an image, okay? The image representation of them to King Nebuchadnezzar. But here, Daniel is looking at these things and they look differently. And surely the news must have been a great relief to Daniel to find out exactly what God was trying to tell him and to let Daniel know that in this dream that he had given to him, God was showing Daniel that he was still in control of things. And folks, listen to me today. Don't get discouraged by the things that are going on in this world around you today. Don't let politics drive you away from God. Listen, it's not a Republican or a Democrat that's going to make the difference in the White House. The message of the gospel is what's going to make the difference in the White House. Because the issues that are being dealt with in our political, our social world today are issues of the heart. They're issues of the heart. And in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, let me take another swallow. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, the Bible describes how that the hearts of men, their very thoughts and their imaginations were evil continually. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We are seeing those times revived, so to speak, in the hearts of men, women, even boys and girls. And the Bible said here that Daniel was being shown by God that his kingdom was going to abide forever and forever. Let me give you a verse out of the book of Psalms. I was looking at this the other day. In the book of Psalms, David wrote this in Psalm chapter 48, verse 14. He said, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." And you know what? He is there with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. John wrote in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse number 10. John wrote and he said, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And you know what? Daniel, when he saw these things, the Bible said here, the saints of the Most High. And that was referring to Daniel's people, the Jews. He's referring to those chosen seed of God. In that day, they're both going to see and they're going to know that their Messiah has indeed come to rule and to reign forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Amen. And he is going to reign King of kings and Lord of lords. Daniel wrote in verse 27. I'll go down and look at verse number 27 just a moment. He makes it known, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Boy, what a day that's going to be. Amen. Now look at verses 19 and 20. Chapter 7, Daniel chapter 7. Daniel said, then, when he had heard these things, he said, don't stop there. Tell me more. It reminded me of the folks on the road to Emmaus. When the stranger they did not know began to tell them all that Christ came to do and how that his death and burial and resurrection were so important in the lives of you and me today. And the Bible said when they finally learned that it was Jesus, their hearts did burn within them and they were so excited that they went back to Jerusalem another 7.5 miles to tell all the other brothers and sisters in Christ that Jesus was alive. Their hearts were stirred. Here in chapter 7, verses 19 and 20, the Bible said, Daniel wrote, he said, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Because Daniel still could not fully grasp and understand what these images were all about, the Bible said that Daniel asked for more information. He wanted to understand what was the significance of this thing, and especially this one little horn, where it said he was exceeding dreadful. That means he was wicked. He was terrible. He had iron teeth, his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. He was a very violent creature. He was wicked, and the 10 horns that were on his head of the other and of the other which came up, the Bible said, before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. In other words, he was more powerful than the other kings. He was more dreadful. And Daniel watched, and as he watched, look at verses 21 and 22. He said, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and look at this, prevailed against them. The devil is a fighter. You know what? If there's any one good thing I could ever say about the devil, is this: He's consistent. He's persistent. He's faithful to do what his heart set out for him to do. Boy, I wish most Christians were like that. I wish that most folks that name the name of Christ would not only be consistent, but that they would be persistent, and that they would continue in all things for the Lord Jesus Christ to be found faithful. That's what we've got to do today, folks. This little horn was faithful to prevail, tried to do everything he could against the people of God. But look what happened. There came a day when the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Honey, there is coming a day when no sorrow is going to be here. No more grief, no more sorrow. And the devil is going to be put in his place. And it's only by the hand of God that that is going to happen. And the Ancient of Days came. The Most High God would utterly do destruction to the devil and his crowd. And it's wonderful to know that no matter how rough the battle may be, and no matter how bad things seem to be right now, you and I are still on the winning side. Amen? Amen. We're still on the winning side. Amen. Now look at this. As the explanation is given and the details are further explained to Daniel, Daniel now writes in verses 23 through 27. He said, "Thus he said, that fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth." Now, did you remember who that fourth kingdom was when Daniel interpreted to Nebuchadnezzar? Who was that fourth kingdom? It was the Roman Empire, was it not? And look what the Bible said. "The fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise." Ten other divisions would come out of that. "And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings." In other words, he's going to conquer those other kingdoms. He's going to conquer all that. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High. I have never lived in a day when I have heard more great words spoken against the Lord God Almighty as we hear in our day to day. People have become brazen. They have become to the point that there seems to be no fear of God. I see these bumper stickers they put on beside all their other liberal stickers, coexist and all this other stuff. And it says two words and two words only: no fear. They have no fear of God. No fear of repercussion. They think, boy, they got the tiger by the tail and that they are in control. And you know what? The devil has deceived many a person today. He's deceived them. And the Bible said, "He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven," under the whole heaven, think about this, "shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." This little horn that rises up out of the ten horns, as we see here in verse 25, he's going to speak wicked things, And look at what the last part of verse 25 says. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. That basically is talking about how that the devil is going to take control of things. He thinks forever. But God has set a limit on what he's going to allow him to do. God has set a limit. And at this point, God is showing Daniel the limit is about to hit. It's about to hit. Now, what does it mean? Let me share with you this little phrase. A time and times and the dividing of times. The Bible teaches how that this word, this phrase, a time, was a reference to 1 year. 1 year in the eyes of God. Remember Daniel's 70th week. Remember reading about that. We're going to read more about it as we go through the lessons. That 1 week, 7 days, was a period of 7 years that God was speaking to them. But God is telling him, listen, Daniel, there's going to be dominion allowed to be given to this one king for a time. Now think about it. Add it up. 1 year. And then he says, and times. That S on the end of it is plural. It doubles the first time. So in addition to that 1 year, they're going to be added to it 2 more years, which makes how many?
Three.
And then he says, and the dividing of times. And that refers to that one time, that one period of time, that 1 year being divided into half. That comes up to a total of what? 3.5 years. What's going to happen? The Antichrist is going to set up this contract with the people of God, with the Jews, for a period of 7 years. And in the midst of that contract, he's going to break it. He's going to exalt himself. He's going to lift himself up as he is God. He's going to speak great things against the God of the Jewish people and do wicked things in their eyes. And so this interpretation of Daniel's dream is telling him, and he, talking about that little horn, he's going to speak great words against the Most High. He's going to wear out the saints of the Most High. And think to change times and laws. He's going to try to change the way that they worship God. You know, during that period, they're going to be offering sacrifices again. They're going to be offering up little lambs. He's going to change all those things. He's going to do away with those oblations and things that they give unto the God of Israel. But look at this. They shall be given into his hand until God says, enough is enough. Amen. That time and times and dividing of times, that 3.5 year period, which he thinks he's going to control everything, God's going to say, no, you don't. And when they say, peace, peace, God's going to send judgment. And God is going to do what only God could do. And look at verse 27, where the Bible says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And that 1 week, talking about 7 days, that 1 week, 7 days representing the 7 years that God spoke of. And in the midst of the week, I'm sorry, this is Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, all right? If you'll look at it ahead, I'm moving ahead a little bit. I've been reading on this and it's good. But Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, God shows Daniel. And he said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. When you look at this verse in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, this little horn, he's going to forbid the Jews to offer sacrifices unto their God. He's going to sit upon the throne and make himself to be as if he were the God. And that little horn that Daniel saw, who was so diverse from all the other kings and all the other kingdoms, he's going to devour the whole world. He's going to tread it down, and he's going to break it in pieces. He's going to be a wicked, wicked person. And he's even, because he hates God and because he hates the Jewish people, the Bible said he will think to change times and laws, which means that he's going to do away with all the Jewish rituals, all their ceremonies that God told them to do. He's going to try to do away with their laws and their commandments concerning the worship of Messiah. And he's going to establish himself as that God in the temple of God during that last part of the tribulation. And folks, this is that little horn that Daniel saw in his vision. Wicked, vile. Now go back to chapter 7. I don't mean to mess you up here, I'm sorry. But Daniel chapter 7, verse 23 through 25. I want you to take note of something here. This is pretty neat. That fourth beast, I want you to notice here that which he does during the tribulation, those last days of Gentile power in this world. Look what the Bible said, verse 23. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. This beast is very different from all the other beasts. And look at verse 19. Go back up to verse 19 just a moment. He's diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful. In other words, what the violence that he does is beyond all the other kingdoms ever did. Whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamp the residue of his with his feet. And this beast represents that part of Nebuchadnezzar's image which had the iron legs, and the feet were a mixture of clay and of iron. Look at verse 24. The 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Remember something today. The book of Revelation, which Pastor has been going through, chapter 6 through 19, the Apostle John describes this same beast that Daniel is seeing in his dream many, many, many hundreds of years before John ever writes about it. And John wrote, if you'll look over in Revelation chapter 13, look at this just a moment. Revelation chapter 13, I'll try to get these in. John writes, and he said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?' And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months, John said. What did Daniel say? A time and times and a dividing of time. 3.5 years. Do the math, folks. 36 months in 3 years. And you add another half year to that, how many months do you have? 42. The same thing that Daniel is describing here is what John would later write about while he was on the Isle of Patmos. It's the same thing. Both men, Daniel and John, I don't have time to go back and give you all the different places where what Daniel is describing is the same as what John is describing. But both of these men describe this fourth beast coming up out of the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea, in that area. And both men describe this fourth beast as being diverse from the previous three beasts. The beast represented the fourth kingdom, which was the old Roman Empire. And John's beast described the future, revived Roman Empire. And he talks about all these things. And these two men are speaking about the very same ones. Now I want you to go down and look at this. While all this seems frightening, while all these things really seem to scare folks, I want you to look at Daniel chapter 7, verses 26 and 27. God says, listen, I'm showing you these things, but I want you to understand, judgment is coming. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion with the greatness of the kingdom of the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominion shall serve and obey him. One of these days, God is going to say, that's it. And God's going to establish his kingdom, his son's kingdom, forever and forever and forever. And I want you to see the reaction to that vision in verse 28. We're going to sum it up here. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My thoughts is what he's saying. My visions, the things I saw. And my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. All these things caused Daniel great sorrow, great grief in his mind, his soul, and in his body. But as he kept all these things in his heart, Daniel still knew through the interpretation of that dream that God was still the one in control. And folks, as children of God today, you need to understand we're in a battle today. Expect it. Know that it's going to come. But folks, our God still reigns. Amen? And our God is in control. And I want you to do what the writer of the book of Hebrews said. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he said, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth beset us. Why? So that we can run with patience the race that has been set before us. How do you do that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus, folks. Amen. The things in this world are going to bother you. They're going to bother you. But you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Let's pray and we'll finish out this lesson today. Lord, I know that I've tried to go through this. Lord, there's so much here. And God, we are limited by the time that we have. But one day, Lord, when we're in heaven, oh, the glorious thought that we'll not have to worry about time, and time will mean nothing anymore. And we will bask in the light of your glorious gospel. And Lord, I want the folks today to understand that your judgment is coming against sin one day. And as it did with Daniel, so it should do with us today. It should bother us and trouble us to see all these things happening, especially from those who reject God and his mercy. But Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help us to be busy about our Father's business and to go out and warn people that the day of judgment is coming and they need to escape it. And the only way to do it is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there be someone today listening to the sound of my voice that's never been saved, I pray, oh God, that you'll draw them unto you and help them, Lord, to see their need of a Savior and trust you today. Thank you, dear God, for this word of God we call the Bible. Help us, Lord, to hold it in our heart and to hide its words in our heart that we might not sin against thee. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. We love you today, folks. Thank you for being in Sunday school.